Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, it's time, guys. The conference finals are upon us, so I'll give you my preview for both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. And then also, WNBA opening weekend, guys. So we'll talk about all the things that transpired for the most part as far as the storylines go. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we are coming close upon the NBA finals. But first, we must talk about the conference finals. So we'll talk about all the teams, how they got there, and all the things. And then also, if there's time, I want to get to the WNBA opening weekend. I got some choice things to say, so hopefully there's space for that. So without any further delay, let's get into it. So we'll start in the West, the Western Conference. Guys, right now you have the number one seed overall, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they'll be taking on the sixth seed, the surprise of the playoffs, the Minnesota Timberwolves. For the season series, they split the two games, guys. So they were able to split in that regard. Their first game was, guys, it was like the last day of 2024. It was on New Year's Eve, in fact, of 2024, when they played, and OKC got the win. And then the last time they played, it's like they bunched it all together, it seems. And it was in February 24. So, and that was an overtime win by the Minnesota Timberwolves. So you're talking about 3 months since they last saw each other. So there's that. But they did split the series, so it's pretty evenly matched in that regard. How did OKC get here? Well, it took them 7 games to vanquish the 4 seed, the Denver Nuggets, in a grueling series, guys. Starting with game one. Game one was in OKC, and Denver took that one, guys. And a close one, 121 to 119, a game in which the Joker went absolutely bonkers. 42 points and 22 rebounds, but it took an Aaron Gordon three-pointer with 2.8 seconds left to seal that win. So Denver gets the win, goes up game one, stealing one at OKC. Then you go to game two, where OKC blew the doors off of the Nuggets, 149 to 106. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Remember, it was the battle of the MVPs, if you will. Well, the MVP candidates. And SGA had 34 in that game. So, thus, setting the stage for game three. Game three, that went to overtime, guys. And Denver was able to pull it out. This game was back in Denver, by the way, guys. 113 to 104, it went in overtime. Jamal Murray was the hero in that game. And then we go to game four. A game I watched, guys, and I got to tell you guys, this game was brutal on the eyes. Absolutely brutal. In fact, the score at halftime was 42 to 36 OKC. I mean, this was a rough watch, guys. They end up winning the game 92 to 87, a game where SGA has 25. But, guys, between the two teams, they missed a total of 65 threes. Good gracious. Again, it was a hard watch game four was. But OKC was able to prevail, so they steal back a game, thus tying up the series 2-2. Setting the stage for heading back to OKC, where OKC would get the win in that game, 112-105, a game that was hotly contested, but SGA leads the way as he always does, 31 points. The Joker goes off in this one, 44 points and 15 rebounds. Not enough as OKC gets the win. And then game six, which goes back to Denver, and Denver saves face on their home floor and get the win, 119-107. In that game, Jamal Murray led the way with 25. Well, actually, he was a key contributor in that game with 25, but the Joker, 29 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 assists, guys. And which set up the game seven, a game where OKC got out in front, and that was the end of it, guys. OKC gets the win, 125-93. And SGA leading the way, 35 points to get his team to advance to the conference finals. And the matchup between the MVP candidates, SGA averaged 29.7 points, nearly 6.5 rebounds, and 6.5 assists. From the field, spectacular as always. Just a shade under 53%, and not so hot from three-point range, but from the free throw line, 82.5%. Joker, on the other hand, 28.4 points per game. You can't. He did all he could. I understand some people were saying, oh, he only scored 20 in the last, in game seven, so he didn't show up. I don't know if I say that, guys. He needed help. Nearly 14 rebounds he averaged and nearly 6 assists. Shooting from the field, unlike him, 47.8%. And then from the free throw line, just 81.2%. So evenly matched on paper, it seems. But OKC was the deeper team at this point, thus getting the win. It was too many no-shows. Jamal Murray, who showed up big in game six, was kind of MIA in game seven. And then Michael Porter Jr., forget about it. He was hot and cold in this series. So OKC gets the win and advances. How Minnesota got here? Well, they took care of business against the Golden State Warriors, the seventh seed, beating them 4-1. And in that, guys, game one goes to Golden State 99-88. But in that game, Steph Curry pulls his hamstring, thus crippling his chances in the series. He was never to show up in another game, guys. The hamstring injury, they initially said, we'll evaluate him in a week. Then after evaluation, he was a no-go. So there you have it. But they were able to take that first game with Buddy Hield leading the way with 24 points. He dropped 5 threes in the game, and he had 8 rebounds. And then for Minnesota, Anthony Edwards, 28 points and 14 rebounds for him. Thus setting the stage for game two. Oh, by the way, Minnesota had the home court advantage in this series. So Golden State steals game one, but game two, Minnesota takes control, winning 117-93. In that game, Julius Randle leads the way for them with 24 points, and he had 11 assists, guys. So Julius Randle showing out. And in this game, Draymond Green has a confrontation with a fan in the crowd. I'll talk about that a little later. Let me just assess the series. So Minnesota ties at 1-1 going to Golden State. In Golden State, not so good for the Warriors. Game three, Minnesota takes that one, 102-97. With a game where Anthony Edwards goes absolutely berserk in that game, thus leading the way for the Timberwolves. And Julius Randle continues his hot play. He puts up a triple-double in that game, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists, thus setting the stage for game four, a pivotal game where Golden State needs to tie it in order to make this a series, but that wasn't to be, guys. Minnesota gets the win there, 117-110. Julius Randle with 31 points. Anthony Edwards, 30 points. Thus setting the stage for game five back in Minnesota, where they can seal the deal, guys. And they do so in game five, 121-110. A game where, again, Julius Randle, 29 points, and then Anthony Edwards with 22 points and 12 assists to lead the way. Thus, winning the series, guys, in five games. And in that series, guys, Anthony Edwards, being the beast that he is, over 26 points per game, 7.6 rebounds, 5.6 assists, nearly two steals per game and over a block per game for him. Doing pretty much everything, guys. Shot it from the field, 47.5%. Electric from three, over 44%. And from the free throw line, just 69%. So you like to see that better of your superstar. Julius Randle, I tell you what, guys, the stigma with him back in New York was that can he produce in the playoffs? And guys, for the Timberwolves, he was absolutely money. Over 25 points per game, 6.6 rebounds, and nearly 7.5 assists per game for Julius Randle. From the field, magnificent, well over 53%. You love that from Randle. From three, he leaves a lot to be desired. Not even 30% from there. But from the free throw line, guys, he was nearly automatic. Out of 23 free throws, missed just one in the series. So Julius Randle, an absolute beast in this series. And then for Golden State, you know who ended up leading the way, guys? Jonathan Kuminga. Mind you, remember, back in the series prior to this, the Houston series, he was hardly used, guys. But they had to go to him because you didn't have Steph, so you needed some scoring. So in comes Jonathan Kuminga, who leads them in scoring, nearly 21 points per game, along with three rebounds, over 54% from the field, over 42% from three, and over 74% from the free throw line. Next in line, Jimmy Butler at 20.2 points per game. Now, think about this, guys. Jimmy Butler, everybody calls him Playoff Jimmy. He's supposed to be able to carry the load if need be. He is the second leading scorer to Kuminga, right? While playing nine more minutes than Jonathan Kuminga. Jonathan Kuminga only averaged 27.4 minutes per game. Jimmy Butler, 38.5. So go figure, guys. Go figure. So Jimmy Butler kind of wets the bed here. 7.4 rebounds, 5.6 assists. Shot from the field, 43%. You can't have that from your number two player. You can't have it. Only 30% from three, and then 75% from the free throw line. So, playoff Jimmy, he had the one great game in this series. Then after that, it was downhill from there. So, what can you do, guys? So, Minnesota takes this series, thus setting the stage for a matchup against the Thunder. Key matchups, I think it's more than obvious, guys. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the presumptive MVP, once we get the final tally in, versus Anthony Edwards, the one everybody's deeming the face of the league, even though he's said on countless occasions he don't want to be the face of the league. You got guys like Stephen A. Smith pretty much saying he doesn't want it, but we're forcing it on him. Imagine that, guys. The guy doesn't want the title, but you're going to force it upon him. Really? Is that what we're doing? Anyhow, so, and I'll just say this. You know, like I said, Stephen A. wants to force the fact that it's Anthony Edwards as the face of the league. And then he calls Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, because his game is smooth. He calls him George Gervin. I think that's not giving Shai Gilgeous-Alexander enough due. Granted, George Gervin, magnificent scorer, one of the best to ever touch the basketball and play in this game. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gives you a lot more. He facilitates the basketball. He can get in there, rebound. He plays two ways as well. He's able to get his nice amount of steals as well. So I think you kind of shortchange him when you call him the Iceman. And this is from a guy who loves the Iceman. But I think you're selling him short. And you don't even, in the remotest way, say he's the face of the league. I don't know if it's because he's Canadian. I don't know. I can't call it. But I'm just saying. So I'll just leave that where it is. Anyway, so that's a huge matchup. And then Jalen Williams, who's had a fine series in the Denver Nugget series, going up against Julius Randle, who's been absolutely red hot, guys. So I think the guy who prevails in this matchup, that could tilt the balance of power in this series. That's how pivotal I think it is. Rudy Gobert versus the likes of it probably won't be Chet Holmgren. It'll be more like Isaiah Hartenstein, and a little bit of, because I think it'll be Gobert versus Hartenstein. That should be an interesting matchup. And then Chet Holmgren versus Jaden McDaniels. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup also. And then you have the benches. Naz Reid, former Sixth Man of the Year. Dante DiVincenzo, who can light it up coming off your bench. And then Nickeil Alexander-Walker, another fine bench player, going up against OKC's bench. Isaiah Joe, who is, you know, he can score in bunches. Alex Caruso, a guy who can come in and D up and give you some offense. And then Aaron Wiggins. So a tremendous amount of youth here versus, you know, some Naz Reid a bit seasoned, Dante a bit seasoned, even Nickeil for that matter. So this will be a very interesting matchup to both the two benches. OKC wins this series if they dominate at home, if they take care of business at home, they win the series. Simple as that. And Jalen Williams must match Julius Randle, who, again, I say he's one of the hottest players in the playoffs right now. And Jalen Williams is going to have to put up similar type numbers or at least close to that in order for OKC to win. And then again, the bench. OKC's bench, being young as it is, must outplay Minnesota's bench because I think it's pretty much equal. You can give the tilt to Minnesota. Again, they have the more experienced bench, so you can go there. Minnesota wins this series if Edwards and Randle continue their hot play. They've been carrying this team. You know, they've been getting contribution from others, but they've been the catalyst. So if they could continue playing the way they're playing, they can give OKC a hard time, guys. Gobert has to control the paint. He must be able to control the paint in this series. Hartenstein, he can be a pest on the glass, if you will, but Gobert has to get the upper hand in this. And then if it's possible, if you get a vintage performance from a Mike Connolly, you know, a guy who's been in the league a long time, the elder statesman, if you will, if you can get some good production from him in this series, I say OKC could find himself in trouble. My prediction, though, I want to put respect on OKC and say they're winning in seven games, but I'm not confident, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. What Minnesota has done in these playoffs, beating the Lakers, beating the Warriors, two teams that the media wanted to see up there, but they didn't get their wish. They've been able to knock these two teams out pretty handily, by the way. So it's not going to be a walk in the park for the Thunder. So I don't give this with a great deal of confidence. I think Minnesota can easily turn the tables in this series, but I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to give OKC their due. They've been tearing it up throughout the entire league, one of the fifth best records in league history. So I'm going to give them their respect, but it's with a lot of trepidation, guys. So with that said, what's next for the Denver Nuggets? We'll start there first. Their salary cap will be $203.5 million for 2025-26 season. Their free agents, Dario Saric, he has a player option at $5.4 million. DeAndre Jordan at $3.3 million. He's a free agent. And then Russell Westbrook. He has a player option, guys, at $3.4 million. I say smart money says he'll opt out. So if that's the case, he could be free, and the Nuggets will have to figure it out because they needed depth, man. That's what I said initially with Denver. I liked the team, but I didn't like their depth. So more depth, they're going to have to find a way to add to their bench. How they'll be able to do that, I'm not sure. What to do with Michael Porter Jr.? He has two more years left at nearly $80 million, just above $79 million. What do you do? Is there a market for him? That's an even better question. So a lot to figure out here. And then even Jamal Murray now, who's getting a lot of money, guys. So I think they shake it up some kind of way. What they do, I'm not quite sure, but we'll see. But there you go there. And then a competent backup for the Joker. DeAndre Jordan had a nice career, but he's long in the tooth, guys. I think you need to go in another route. Maybe Andre Drummond you could bring over, but you need a competent big man in those cases where you don't have the Joker, which ended up happening, guys. He missed a relatively amount of good amount of time. So there's that. So, all right. So there you go with that. And then what's next for Golden State Warriors? Their salary cap is at $164.7 million. Their free agents, Gary Payton II at over $9 million. Kevon Looney at $8 million. And then they have a qualifying offer on Jonathan Kuminga at $10.2 million. So the question is, do they run it back? Do they say, you know what? Maybe a training camp with Jimmy Butler. You know, you have Steph back. You'll have Draymond Green. Maybe some of the kids, begin to mature. Guys like Brandon Podemski, Moses Moody. If these guys mature enough, you know, they can contribute. We'll see what happens. I think Jonathan Kuminga, he's gone. I think he's gone. Because Steve Kerr, for some reason, have been playing him sparingly. So I think he wants to go with somewhere where he can flourish. So possibly a sign and trade. We'll see. But I think Jonathan Kuminga, I'd be stunned if he was back in a Golden State Warriors jersey. I'm just saying. So, all right. So that is that bit of news. Oh, I did want to touch on Draymond Green. Maybe I'll save it. Because time is dwindling, so let's continue. Then the next series, my New York Knicks, the 3 seed, going up against the 4 seed, the Indiana Pacers, guys. And the Knicks actually lead the season series 2-1. They last played February 11th, so you're talking a solid 3 months plus that they haven't played each other. And the Knicks look different. And for the most part, Indiana, well, they're a different team because they got hot towards the latter end of the season, so there's that. How the Knicks got here, they had a pretty grueling series against Boston, 4-2, that they won it over the 2-seed Boston. Game one, all these games, for the most part, I was able to take in, guys. Game one in Boston, the Knicks steal one, 108-105, a game where it took back-to-back threes by OG Anunoby and Josh Hart to seal that deal. So they get the win there. The Knicks were down by 20, found a way to win. So they go up 1-0 in that series. Game two still in Boston. The Knicks steal that one, 91-90, where Brunson, towards the end, gets fouled. He knocks down the free throws to put them ahead. And then in both games, guys, the ball was in Jason Tatum's hands. He was covered by Mikal Bridges. And both of those times, Mikal Bridges ends up stealing the ball, thus sealing the win. So the Knicks up 2-0, heading to the Garden. So you like those odds, guys. They go to the Garden. I actually went to a watch party. Knicks Omni fan, you know, they do it up. You know, my girls there, Jennifer and Jasmine, they do their thing. So went to the watch party for this, but Boston, they just stomped the Knicks at the Garden, 115-93, in a game where Peyton Pritchard off the bench, 25 points, rock solid. Jason Tatum, 22 points for him. It was just an all-around beatdown. So they get the win, thus setting up 2-1, an opportunity to tie the series game four, in a heroic efforts all around, guys, from Jalen Brunson, from Jason Tatum. Unfortunately, late in that game, he tears his ACL with about 3 minutes to go. At that point, he had 42 points along with 8 rebounds. He had dropped 7 threes in that game, but he, on a fortunate play, that he tears his ACL. So Jason Tatum, therefore, out for the rest of the series. Of course, you send prayers up for him. Hope he has a speedy recovery. Oh, by the way, he's already had the surgery, so he said, I'm not messing around. I'm not waiting around. I want to get back on the court. I want to get with my guys. So kudos to him for that. So he tears his ACL, unfortunately, thus setting the stage for the Knicks to take game 4, 121 to 113. Jalen Brunson in this game, 39 points along with 12 assists for the Knicks. So the Knicks in the catbird seat, 3-1, heading back to Boston, where they can kind of put the nail in the coffin, if you will. But game 5, Boston plays with that Boston pride. They end up blowing out the Knicks 127 to 103 in a game where Derek White, he showed up big time, 34 points for them, thus leading the way. And you had guys like Luke Kornet, for crying out loud, 10 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 blocks. I'm like, what in the world are we doing? So Boston up, down 3-2, heading back to the Garden for a game 6. So much so, you had guys like Emmanuel Ochoa saying, oh, the guys are playing better without Jason Tatum. Maybe they could win this series. And I'm like, yeah, cool your heels. I wouldn't go there, but what do I know? In game 6, the Knicks prove that theory wrong by absolutely trouncing the Boston Celtics at the Garden, 119 to 83. I mean, an absolute beatdown. So the Knicks take that one for their guys in with 20 or more points. Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, and Karl Anthony Towns, guys. So the Knicks takes this series and thus sets the stage for a conference finals appearance. For the series, Jalen Brunson, or as Kendrick Perkins calls him, Big Body Brunson, absolutely showed up. Over 26 points per game, nearly 4 rebounds, over 7 assists, so you like that. Shooting at 44.5% from the field, 39 from 3, and 82.5% from the free throw line. Karl Anthony Towns, not as big a series as you thought he'd have. Just a shade under 20 points. 12.7 rebounds he averaged. From the field, well over 47%. From 3, horrendous. 3 for 19. You don't like to see that. From the free throw line, he was pretty much automatic. 30 tries. Only missing twice, so you'll take that to the bank. And then, of course, Jason Tatum, when all is said and done in the 4 games, 25 points, nearly 12 rebounds, 5.5 assists. Not all that solid from the field, just 40%, 37.8 from 3, 84.6 from the free throw line. And Jaylen Brown, who it was just revealed he was playing with a torn meniscus. Remember, guys, I had talked about this too, the fact that he was getting shots in his knee because, you know, he was dealing with a knee issue. So, and on top of that, a torn meniscus, what can you do? Over 21 points per game, 6.7 rebounds, and over 5 assists. He didn't shoot all that great from the field either. 40.4%, from three horrendous, not even 29%, and 67.6 from the free throw line. So the Knicks advance and head to the conference finals. How did Indiana get here? They took it in five against the number one seed, guys, the Cleveland Cavaliers, 4-1. Game one in Cleveland. Indiana Pacers go in there and get the win, guys, in the first game. 121-112. Tyrese Haliburton, 22 points, 13 assists for him. And then you got guys like Andrew Nembhard with 23 points. That's not going to help you out any. So Indiana takes game one. Oh, by the way, Darius Garland didn't play in game one, thus setting the stage for game two. Game two, where they were missing not only Darius Garland with the toe injury, they were also missing Evan Mobley with an ankle issue injury, and DeAndre Hunter with a thumb injury. So your three main guys out for game two. And in that game, Cleveland, they were playing well. Even without those guys, they were up by as much as 20 in the second half, but Indiana climbed back into it, and on a Tyrese Haliburton three with 1.1 seconds, a game I watched, guys, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. They win it, 120-119, guys, thus going to up two games to none, just like the Knicks did. And when they took their two games in Boston, thus setting the stage for a game three, and Cleveland going to Indiana, playing with pride, guys. They take game three, 126-104, thus setting the stage for game four, a pivotal one where you can either tie it or it just gets out of hand from there, which it did, guys. Indiana wins this, 129-109. In a game where Pascal Siakam leads the way with 21, and then Miles Turner, 20, off the bench, Obi Toppin, 20. Thus setting the stage for game five back in Cleveland, where Cleveland just can't get it done, guys. 114, they win to 105. Tyrese Haliburton with a magnificent game five, 31 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists to get the win. And that's the way it went, guys. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, you know, a lot of heat is coming down on him. But listen, guys, he played that series as if his life depended on it. And he played as well as he could, given the circumstances, guys. Over 34 points a game he averaged in the series. What more can a guy do than that? So, you know, he's catching a lot of heat. I don't think it's fair, to be honest with you. He's done all he can. But when you got a guy like Darius Garland, who, granted, he wasn't healthy, I give you that, but you can't show up with these numbers. 14 points, 4 assists. That's not going to do it. From the field, not even 35% from the field. And then from three of 18, that's not numbers that's going to get you to advance, guys. So he's got to catch some heat for that. Pascal Siakam led the way. They had balanced scoring, guys. They definitely had balanced scoring with Pascal leading the way and Tyrese Haliburton not too far off. And he's had a couple of game winners in this series. Thus, Indiana advances, guys. Thus setting up a heated rivalry against the Knicks. Key matchup, guys. Jalen Brunson against Tyrese Haliburton. And remember, guys, they played up the whole thing after last year's series. They met up at the WWE and it had a whole, you know, a whole skit with that and all these things. But last year's loss left a sour taste in Jalen Brunson's mouth. I think he wants some get back guys. I doubt if they face each other one-on-one. I think it'll be Mikal Bridges who will be getting the assignment on Tyrese Haliburton. So I think that's the way it'll go. But, you know, it's the two-point guard, so you just say Brunson versus Haliburton. And then remember, too, guys, I think a fact that gets lost. The Knicks had an opportunity to draft this guy in the same draft that they end up taking Obi Toppin instead of Haliburton. So that's always stuck in Halliburton's craw. So you add that component to everything else. So there you are. Also, OG Anunoby versus Pascal Siakam. I think this is a critical matchup. This is a matchup last year, guys. The Knicks didn't get the best of it because OG wasn't fully healthy. He's fully healthy now, guys. So I think you'll see a different outcome in terms of this matchup here. And then Karl Anthony Towns versus Miles Turner. I think Karl Anthony Towns, this is set up for him to have a monster series. I think I'll tell you in a sec. The Knicks win if their bench must produce with Indiana's bench. Indiana has a solid bench. You got guys like TJ McConnell on it, Obi Toppin, I just talked about him, Ben Mathurin, he's a guy who can light it up. This bench with Mitchell Robinson, with Deuce McBride, campaign you're going to need. Landry Schmidt, I think, should be making an appearance in this series. He's a guy who can heat up and heat up fast. You're going to need him in this series. So Tom Thibodeau has to get off his pride and play these guys because you're going to need this in this series because Indiana goes deep and they don't lose a thing when they go deep. So you're going to have to match them in that regard. And then Karl Anthony Towns must come up huge, guys. This is set up for him, guys. He be honest, he has no excuse. He has to give you a 25. I'm sounding like Shaq now. He has to give you a 25-point 15 rebounds. He's got to average that in this series, guys. I think if he does that, the Knicks are in great shape. So you're going to need him to step up and step up big time. Indiana wins if they continue the way they've been playing, guys. Down at one point in the season, they went towards the end 42-16, guys. That is an outstanding record. And then Haliburton must continue his closing mentality. Will he be able to do that against the length that the Knicks are going to throw at him? Because they're going to throw Mikal Bridges at him. I'm sure he'll see a little bit of OG Anunoby. He'll see some Josh Hart as well. But you're going to have a rotation on him to kind of keep him at bay. And then Miles Turner, I think he must be able to control Cat. Because, again, I think Cat, this is set up for him to have a big series. And I'm hoping that comes to fruition. My prediction, I'm saying it with my chest, guys. I didn't feel confident in the Boston series, rightfully so, but I'm saying it with my full chest, guys. Knicks in 7 and going to the finals, baby. That's what we talking about. So Knicks in 7. I understand. I get it. I get it that the Pacers have been hot. I get that. But it's the Knicks' time. And then remember last year, they went 7 games without Julius Randle at the time, who was the number 2 guy, with a hobbled OG Anunoby. So you have that. Mitchell Robinson, he was out. So the Knicks weren't at their full percentage. And also, Jalen Brunson hurt his hand in that game 7. Josh Hart also dealing with a hammy. He was toughing it out. So they weren't completely healthy, and they took them to 7 games. So they're healthy, and you have all the components here. Nixon 7, man. I'm saying that. All right? So there we go. All right, guys. So what is next for Boston? Boston, man. They have a salary cap of nearly $224 million, just a shade under that. They're free agents. They have two guys, Al Horford at $9.5 million, and then Luke Kornet at $2.8 million. Guys, it's not a lot of wiggle room here. They have a huge salary here. Guys, over the next four seasons, they have $730 million invested in their starting five. That's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis, Drew Holiday, and Derek White. So they have a lot of decisions to make, guys. And then they're getting Peyton Pritchard at a bargain for the next 3 years for a little over 23 million for the next 3 years. That's an absolute steal for that guy. So there's that. Kristaps Porzingis does have one more year at $30.7 million. So there's a concern there, you know. And then given his health situation, because he was hobbled in the series, so there's that. Remember, Boston has been sold. They have a potential buyer. They say it's pretty much a done deal. Bill Chisholm, who buys it at $6.1 billion, and it's going to happen in two phases, guys. The first phase will be where he owns 51%, and so he'll be majority owner, and then he gets full ownership in 2028. That'll be the second phase. Bill Chisholm, he's the CEO of Symphony Tech Group. So, you know, he's one of these techie guys. So with a bunch of billions there. So there you go. So, but once he owns, what is he going to do concerning all this salary that's on the books? Is he going to move some pieces around? You know, you're not going to have Jason Tatum. You won't have him for all of 2025, that's for sure. And you don't know at what portion in 26 you're going to get him. What will the team look like if he tries to come back for the season? We'll see. But huge decisions to be made in Boston. And then for the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'll say this, guys. They got some big decisions, too. They were the number one seed. Salary cap at $210.5 million. Their free agents, Tristan Thompson at 3.3, Ty Jerome, who's played well coming off their bench, 2.5, and then Sam Merrill at 2.1. Now they have a big chunk of their salary in four guys. In fact, $547 million tied up in Donovan Mitchell, who just signed an extension. Darius Garland, also Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. So this team needs more toughness, guys. Somebody called them a regular season team, and that's about it. I was listening to Road Tripping with Kendrick Perkins on there, with Channing Frye, and also Richard Jefferson. And Channing Frye went hard at them, man. And he called out Jared Allen. He said he needs to get tougher, man. And Kendrick Perkins absolutely destroyed them. He gave out to Donovan Mitchell, which I do also. I give him out because I think he done all he could. Although he did say Donovan Mitchell hasn't reached the conference finals yet as a player. So that's concerning. But again, I think that game two, where you missed the three guys, I thought that just sank their ship, man. Because if you have those guys, does Indiana come back the way they did? And if so, and if they don't, that's a 1-1 series going into Indiana. I'd like your chances better with that situation than going in there 0-2, which he ended up doing. So there's that. But I did have a deal that they can make, guys, that can kind of shake up things. Maybe a Jamal Murray of the Denver Nuggets for Darius Garland and Isaac Okoro. The money works out that way. You know Jamal Murray, he's gotten it done. He's a world champion, so you pair him along with a Donovan Mitchell. I think that gives you a very solid backcourt. Again, you'll probably need a solid backup just in case for Jamal Murray. You know, he can miss some time here and there, but when he's out there, he produces, guys, and he comes up big time. So you can do it that way. I've heard people talk about now maybe Giannis going to Cleveland. I don't think Milwaukee does it, to be honest with you. They're in the same division. I don't see that happening, guys. I don't see that happening. I know it sounds like it'll make sense. You send Mobley over there, you send some other pieces, but I don't see Giannis Antetokounmpo in a Cleveland Cavaliers jersey. I do not see it. The Jamal Murray thing, I think that could happen. But Giannis, I don't see that happen. So there you go. So, all right, guys. So I'm not going to be able to get the WNBA stuff in. That's okay. I'll just do another episode. Maybe I'll do one in the morning. We'll see. All right, guys. So I thank you for listening. As always, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you can find all the stuff. I did want to do the Draymond stuff. Maybe I'll couple that with the WNBA stuff. So, that's how we'll do it. So, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There, episodes, clips, and all those things you'll find there. Also, guys, all podcast platforms, I'm on those. YouTube, I'm on there. LinkedIn, I put my links there as well as far as getting to the videos. Also, social media, TikTok, IG, some Facebook, some Blue Sky. That's about it. I ain't going too crazy with anything else. And then support the show, guys. Support buttons are on the website, and they are Spotify Donate, PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee. Also, in the ticker is my Cash App. You can get to the show that way as well. So, guys, I thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk soon. I will try and get that WNBA joint out, and then Draymond, I want to touch on what happened with him. So, again, I can do a separate episode for that. Thank you for listening as always. We'll talk soon. Take care.